take a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. This afternoon, Marcus and I were sitting upstairs and just about getting ready to come to church tonight. And he said, "Dad, can you preach short tonight?" And I said, "Son, have you ever known me to preach short?" And he said, "No." Then my wife said, "You better preach short. I'm in the nursery." So I hope you get comfortable. We'll be here for a bit just to spite her. I know, doesn't it? Don't tell her I said that, though, please. Great. Let's pray and be dismissed. Matthew chapter 28, just a few verses here. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, because all power is given unto me." Because of this, that's why we're supposed to go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we come to the preaching of your word, Lord, I know it's great to joke around and laugh and have a great time. And I'm all for that. But Lord, also it's time of seriousness too. And I pray that you would meet with us tonight and that your Holy Spirit's presence would be here, because without it, Lord, it's just a waste of time. And so I pray that you'd meet with us tonight. In your name, amen. I'm going to talk to you tonight about the responsibility of the church. The responsibility of this local New Testament church. Now, there's some people that will say, well, you know, you can have a church wherever you want. You can go up into the hills. You can go up to the mountains, whatever. That's my church. I could belong to the universal church. The problem with that is that the Bible lists churches by names. In Revelation, it talks about, it says to the church at Ephesus, to the church at Thyatira. I was reading it this afternoon, and he went through and had problems with each individual church and said, "This is what I have against you." So we know that it was specific and each one was a little bit different. And so we have the local New Testament church. And we have a responsibility here as this local New Testament church. We are not responsible for what Fairview is doing tonight.
Right.
We're not responsible for what Temple's doing.
Right.
If they were having special meetings, great for them. If we had an opportunity to go throughout the week, if they did, then that's wonderful. But this is our church right here. This is what we're supposed to be concerned about, is what goes on here. The things that happen here and the people that are here. Because this is our church. God gave us this church, Heritage Baptist Church. I'm so glad that I'm a member of Heritage Baptist Church. There's no other church that I would want to be a member of other than this church right here. There's other great churches that are out there. I've been to them. I've gone to First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. It's a great church. I know the pastor. He's a great man. And he's been up here and has preached for us a bunch of times. I've heard him preach a number of times down in Bible College when he was a pastor down in Long Beach, California. I know Pastor Trever very well down in at North Valley Baptist Church. It's a great church. I know Pastor Mix here at Fairview. I know Pastor Sessick very well as well. And we'll talk, and we've gone and done stuff with them and different things, and we'll sit and we'll talk. And it's a great church. But it's not my church, because this is my church. And I am glad that I'm a member of this local New Testament church. I am glad and I am proud to call Pastor Shear my pastor. He's not perfect by any means. Neither am I. But I am proud to call him my pastor. Just like this is the only church I want to be, that's the only pastor I want to have. I'd joke around with Mrs. Shear and I'd say, "You're my favorite pastor's wife." And she would say, "That's because I'm the only pastor's wife you've had." I love my pastor. He has invested years into my life. We've been here, 89. So this is, 27 years? Something like that. That's a long time for him to invest in my life. And he has invested in my kids' life. Boy, he loves my boys, and my boys love him, and I wouldn't have it any other way. They love going to see him, and just candy or no candy, it doesn't matter. Boy, they just love being around preacher. On Saturdays, they look forward to getting in the car with him and going out and bus calling and different things like that. And any time that they can get, they love being around him because he is so good with them. He cares about them and he loves them. He's a tremendous pastor, a pastor that has a huge heart. I don't think I've ever met another man that has as big of a heart as our pastor. He just blows me away every time that I hear another story of how he just cares about people. And it doesn't matter. If it's 2 o'clock in the morning and he hears the call, he's finding a way to go. Because he loves us. And he is the pastor that God has given our church. And we are to come underneath his authority as our pastor and follow him as he follows Christ. As Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." That's our responsibility with our pastor. And he's a tremendous leader for our church. But our church has a responsibility here in Great Falls, Montana. And it's not just for us to gather around so that we can check mark off and say that I was in church today. It is more than that. The first responsibility, and I know we know this. If there's a church that knows this, it's our church. The first responsibility of our local New Testament church is to spread the gospel. That's our responsibility. We are to go to, as it says in Acts, that we're supposed to spread the gospel. All power is given to me. You know, and it talks about how, let me get over there real quick so I didn't have it written down. But in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." That's our number one responsibility, is to spread the gospel. Now we can do our part here and going out and inviting people and talking to people, whether it be our coworkers, our neighbors, our friends, people that we see on the streets, at the mall, at the stores and different things. My boys are looking. Anthony does this. He's, "Dad, I got a track. I want to give it out. Can I give it to this person? Can I give it to this? We're at a store. Can I give that to her?" Absolutely. We were at Dairy Queen a little bit ago, and he's like, "I've got a track. Can we give it to them?" He's looking. And he wants to give it. That's our responsibility. Our responsibility is also not just here in Great Falls, though, but in Montana, the United States, and the rest of the world. That is why we're active members in our missions program. That's why in our missions, too, that it's not just across the seas. If you think about it, we have to have an outreach to America. Well, how can we do that if we don't support American missionaries, such as the Holmans? We give towards them so that they can go to places that we can't go. That's our responsibility as a church, to give towards the Jones family over in the Philippines, the Hassans down in Cameroon, so that we could spread the gospel. And they can go where we can't, and they can get the word out, because God has given us a challenge as a church to spread the gospel. That's why our pastor wants a bus ministry. The purpose of the bus ministry, yes, is so that kids can come to church like they did this morning, even if it's just for a pumpkin. But the purpose of the bus ministry is not just for the kids, but it's because we want to reach the family. That's the goal. That's the purpose, to get the family into the church. Because if we just pick up the kid and that's it, and we don't get the family invested into it, usually what happens is about 12, 13, about 6th, 7th grade, we'll lose them. They're able to do whatever they want. And I don't know about you, but when I was 12 or 13 years old, I probably wasn't that best at decision making, at what was best for me. Jaden, I'm sure that's not you though. You're spot on, right? Know exactly what to do in every situation. You don't need your mom or dad or anything. You could live on your own and make all the right decisions. But that's what's happening. Somebody like Jaden is getting to make his own decision. Do you want to go to church or not? And these kids, they don't have the upbringing like our kids do to say, all right, we're supposed to be in church, so let's go to church. So if we don't get into the homes and get the families in, at about 12 years old, we lose them. We try and find some more. But that's about the cycle of it. Our church, though, we want to reach the lost. Throughout the Scripture, Jesus is challenging them to go out, to preach the gospel to every creature. And our church has to hold that up to its end of the bargain. The problem is that some churches are consumed about doing it the wrong way, though. Boy, in our society today, it is a numbers-based society. It is it's a society where they determine success based off of production. The people that would look at our church and say, well, you're not the biggest church in town, so what are you doing wrong? There's this other church that has over 1,000 people here in Great Falls that will go to their church service on Saturday night or Sunday morning or whatnot. And we look at it and we have a tendency to determine success based off of production. Businesses are based off of if they're a good business or a successful business, based off of revenue and growth and production. Employees inside that are judged based off of production and what they've brought to the company. And every company, at the end of the year, they want to improve their numbers from last year. The sad thing is that because of this type of environment that we have where people are driven to increase and whatnot, is that you'll get some companies, like Wells Fargo, unfortunately, that they had employees that were doing it the wrong way. And there's no, I'm not trying to smear or anything. That's just in the news. You know about it. I know about it. Boy, I hear about it all the time. And what happened? They had so much pressure to produce, but they went about it the wrong way. Whether it was because they were worried they'd lose their job, or whether they thought, well, maybe I can get more money by doing this, and they stepped out of what is ethical and into the unethical range. And they're not the only industry that's had that stuff done. Well, there's been some car dealerships that I've seen and have had people that had come in, and you look at some of the things that they've done and you just scratch their head and think, what in the world did they do? That just wasn't right. Why? Because they're just consumed about production. That's our society. As a church, we cannot let that type of influence come into our church and infiltrate it. Because if we do, then rather than doing things the right way, as far as how God has laid out a church is supposed to go, we start doing things a little bit differently. To draw in the crowds. Because we want to increase the church. So the churches that will say, well, you know what, you come to our church and then, you know, we'll give you a couple Sunday nights off throughout the time, from time to time, so you can enjoy your time with your family. But we'll change our music just a little bit so that it's a little easier to hear and it's maybe more resemblance of what you hear out in society today. We'll change our standards on and our convictions on our dress and our appearance. And you can come as you want. We'll change our appearance up here on the platform and we'll in have all these other additional things that'll come in. Why? To draw in the crowd because they're consumed about numbers and production. So they go about it the wrong way. As a church, God's given us the challenge to go out and to reach the lost. The angels don't get to do it. God doesn't go and do it. He sends us. And if we go about it the wrong way, we'll lose the influence and the power of God in our church. And it'll just become another church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46, it says, "And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people." It says here, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." I remember when I used to think, boy, our church used to be so big when we had the flight mission that was here. It would average 300. And our missions budget was so great, and we had so many missionaries that we were sending out, and we had all these people, and we had every single grade had its own Sunday school teacher. First grade had its own, second grade had its own, third grade. We had split with the high school, and we had buses. We had a bus high Sunday school class. We had a kids Sunday school class. And we had a lot of teachers that was going at that time. Then all of a sudden, Malmstrom gets, they lose the flight mission, whatnot, and we drop down, and I think, boy, what's going on? And we've had different times where, over the course of the history of our church, where we've had families that have moved, deciding to go to places like Washington, trying going to school for something, you know, like park rangers and stuff like that. We've got families that leave. And we could sit here as a Heritage Baptist Church and scratch our head and think, oh no, what's going to happen? I remember when our church lost, I think it was like 10 or 11 strong families in about 6 months. They left. They PCS'd out, that some moved. And we had deacons and Sunday school teachers that were just gone. Just like with the Beermans, the Salcedos, gone. What happens? Our church keeps going. Why is that? Because it's not founded on man, it is founded on God. That's the difference. My hope is not built on people. But it's built on God. That God's going to take care of our church. And He is going to add daily such as should be saved. It's on Him to add to the church. Our job is to make sure that we're doing our part in spreading the gospel. If we cease to do our part, God will stop doing His part. If we don't care about the lost, if we don't go out and say, all right, hey, you should come to our church. Hey, we have our Thanksgiving supper that's going to be coming up on November 9th. You should come check it out. It's a great time just to come see what our church is about, meet some of the people. If we're not out there actively inviting people and leading them to the Lord and trying to see if they're saved and putting out some effort, then why should God put any effort into our church if we're not doing what He's asked us to do? If we pull back, so will He. And then we get Ichabod that's written on our church. Because the presence of God is gone. We have to continue doing our part, and then we just simply trust God that He will do His. But I want to ask you a question. When's the last time that you've invited anybody to our church? When's the last time that you said, hey, do you have a church that you go to? Boy, you should come check out Heritage Baptist Church. So 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, 6 o'clock Sunday night, 7:30 on Wednesday night. Come, it's only about an hour, maybe an hour and a half, depending on how long-winded the preacher is. But if you, and I tell people, if you don't like it, you lost an hour of your time. But if you do like it, you find yourself a church family that's there for you to help you and encourage you. But when's the last time you've invited anybody? When's the last time you had somebody sitting next to you in church that you brought? When's the last time that you've passed out a tract and tried witnessing to somebody? Because if the answer is, I can't remember, maybe that's the reason why God's not adding to our church. Because we have stopped doing our part. It is God that is going to give us the increase. So the church, the responsibility of the church, number one, of course, is to spread the gospel. Number two, the church is for fellowship. In verse 46, it says that they continued in one accord in the temple, breaking bread. I love coming to church because this is where my friends are. I don't have any friends outside of Heritage Baptist Church. I'm not saying that you're wrong if you do. That's just for me. I know people from Fairview. I know people from Temple that are great Christians. Eric Ellidge, who, his dad is assistant pastor over at Fairview, brother Mark Ellidge. He's a friend of mine from high school on up. But, you know, we don't talk. Why? He doesn't go to my church. This is my friends. This is my family right here. I talk to you guys more than I talk to my brother and sister. That's not bad. That's just the way it is. This is my family, though. This is the place that I get to gather around and in fellowship. I get to be around other Christians. And when I'm here, I don't have to worry about, well, hopefully my boys won't hear something that they shouldn't hear. So if I go over to somebody's house from the church, I don't have to sit there and think, okay, now be mindful of this. And if you hear this, that, you know, not everybody's going to talk the same way as we do. And, you know, if you hear them say some bad words, that doesn't mean that you can say that. I don't have to worry about that. Why? Because I'm surrounded by a bunch of Christians that love the Lord. And that's the greatest thing. We get to come out from the world and gather together and say, okay, man, we're going to be a blessing to somebody in our church today. Or think of the Eboas. When's Mike coming back? December 21st, right in time for Christmas. Well, we get to be an encouragement to her, though, until then. And then when he goes back, we get to step in again. That's what a church is for. Well, I think of Marcy Lynn and her great with her grandpa and Brazilia's great grandpa. We get to come alongside them and say, hey, it's going to be okay. If you need anything, let us know. Well, Tiffany having surgery. Hey, I was reaching out to them. Do you guys need anything? Can we provide meals? Can we do this? And they said, no, my mom will just do all the work. I'll just let you crack that whip. But we get to be there for each other. And yes, sometimes we'll let each other down. because we're not perfect. We'll drop the ball. We'll forget something. We may promise to do something and then forget about it and not do it. We may say something that might upset somebody. But this is what family does. Well, you get around my family and my sister and I, and when we went down to Colorado, my wife was holding her breath thinking, we're going to be at their house for how long? Do you think you could not get in a fight with your sister for that long? And I said, I'll try. We did it. I don't know how. We used to fight. And then you know what we'd do? We'd make up and say everything would be okay. We'd say, you know what? You may hate me bad, but I love you anyways. Why? Because you're my family. My dad would tell us, blood is thicker than water. Nothing is more important than your family. This is our family. We have people from all over, from West Virginia that are learning how to wear shoes to, you know, from Texas that, you know, trying to not freeze to death up here. From homegrown Montanans to people from Arizona, Colorado. They're away from their family, and this becomes our family as we get inside our local New Testament church. That's why we have our Thanksgiving supper, so that we can get together as a church family and enjoy some good fellowship and some good food. Because if there's one thing that Baptists know how to do, it's eat. And we like to do it, and we're good at it. But we need each other. We have to come together and band together because it's all we have. And when people are missing and you decide, well, I'm not going to go to church, then you hurt the family. Can you imagine if you're sitting there and there's a family reunion going on and all the family's there and you're not? And they come around, hey, where's so-and-so at? Well, they just didn't want to come. Why? I don't know. Pastor Shearer today, hey, was so-and-so there today at church? Yep, they were there. Was so-and-so there? Yep, they were there. Were so-and-so there? No, I don't know what's going on that they weren't there. Oh, man. Been praying for them. Hey, he's looking. He's watching. Why? Because he cares. Well, we look around and other people will watch and they'll look and see who's here and who's not here. And if you're not here, then we get cheated out of fellowshipping with you. And we need it. Because we're lonely, and we need that fellowship. They continued together in one accord. They were all in one mind. They had one purpose, one goal. That was to reach the lost. And they got together out of the world, and they came together, and they banded in that local New Testament church, and God added to it. They got the opportunity to fellowship. Lastly, and just because I said lastly doesn't mean I'm closing. As it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and hear this, and having favor with all the people. As a church, we are to be a beacon in this world. We're the ones that should be the good employees at work. The ones that they don't have to worry about when someone calls up and you think, are they really sick or do they just want to stay home? I had an employee, not an employee anymore, just recently I found out he had jury duty, and he told us, hey, I got summoned to go down for jury duty, for selection and all that. And so he went down there at 8 o'clock or so in the morning, took the day off because he had jury duty. That happens. We're supposed to let him go. Well, he was gone for 2 days, and then on the third day he came back and said, okay, you know, the case is over, and he told us a little bit about it, you know, what he could say within staying within what he was told, whatnot. This past week, somebody told me, he says, yeah, he said, you remember when he had, so-and-so had a jury duty? I was like, yeah, he says, did you know that he got dismissed from it, and he wasn't even a member of that jury? That day, that second day that he called up and said that he still has jury, he was sitting at home the entire day. Just didn't want to go to work, so he used that as an excuse. Got paid for it. Oh, man. What a dirty, rotten bum. We were short-handed. And he's doing that? Really? And you know what the people, our other employees thought? Well, that's typical him. I wouldn't put it past him. Why? That's what they expect from him. That shouldn't be said about a Christian, though. We should be the ones that are leading the way. I'm not saying that we all have to turn into, you know, super employees and whatnot, but we shouldn't be the ones where our employers have problems with us. Because we should be having the example. We are the ambassadors of Christ. And because of that, we should carry ourselves like ambassadors of Christ. At my work, we've been shorthanded. We had one gentleman that I was talking about. He's no longer at the bank. I don't know why, but you know, you could probably figure it out. I had two employees that went out on maternity leave within, I think, 3 weeks of each other or so. We had a branch that normally has about 10 people, and we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. So we're short about 4 people at our branch. Because of that, our downtown location lent us a teller. And so she was working up there with us, and she had a customer that came up to her and was talking to her about the weekend and whatnot. And she asked her, she said, what'd you do on Sunday? And she said, oh, I stayed at home with my son. And it was an older lady, and she said, well, you should be in church on Sunday. And I was sitting there, and I was standing next to her on the other side, and I'm thinking, yeah, give it to her, you know. And she's like, you need church, and your son, he needs to be in church too. And I'm like, yeah, that's right, Grandma, give it to her. And she's like, well, you know, I've gone before, and it's just not my thing and whatnot and this and that. And so the customer left, and there's nobody else in there. And one of our other bankers came up, and we're talking with her. And I said, does that make you uncomfortable when somebody asks you about going to church? And she didn't really know me. She knows who I am somewhat, but she's worked with Charlene a little bit, but they're in different departments, so there's not a whole lot of interaction that they have. And she's like, no, not really. And she mentioned this other employee that she works with downtown, and she said, him and I, we've gotten into it before about religion. And you know, I've told him what I think about religion, and he tells me what he thinks. And the other employee that was from my branch that was up there said, hey, wait a minute. You're saying that he's a religious person? And she's like, oh yeah, he's very religious, and he's real big and active in his church, and he takes it very seriously. And he said, but wait a minute, I've gone drinking with him before. I've had a couple drinks with him. I've heard him swear before. You're telling me that he's religious? And she said, well, yeah, just because you do those things doesn't mean that you can't be. And he said, this is what he said. He said, when I think of somebody who's supposed to be religious, I think of Rick. And my heart just kind of clenched up just a little bit. And he said, he doesn't drink. He doesn't talk filthy. I've never heard him say anything that's inappropriate. He says, that's how a religious person is supposed to be. I thought to myself, boy, they are watching. And I've got to make sure that I'm watching myself to live up to that standard. Because if I mess up, that opportunity that I'm trying to get him to church, he's the only employee of mine so far that has not come to church. And I've been after him for almost 2 years to come. And if I slip up, if I say something that's wrong or inappropriate, if I do anything that would be seen as not what a Christian is supposed to, I will lose that opportunity to witness to him. We're supposed to be beacons. We're supposed to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Heavenly Father. That's our task. That's the responsibility of the church and the church member. What if we went to church and we asked, "How's so-and-so? Do you know they're members of our church?" I wonder what they would say. "Really? That person goes to church? You got to be kidding. I don't believe that. They don't act like it." Or would they be like, "Oh, absolutely. They've even invited me before. We never have problems with them." Our local New Testament church, Heritage Baptist Church, is supposed to be a beacon. And our pastor who leads us can try and do the best that he can. And he is known in our community. It surprises me. You'll be out and somebody, "Pastor Shear." "Oh yeah, I know Pastor Shear." People know him. He tries to do his best. But he's only one person. God didn't just give the church just the pastor. He gave the members too. Because we're supposed to come alongside and work with him. And do our part as well. Spread the gospel. Fellowshipping with one another. And being a beacon in this dark world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would be with our church, Heritage Baptist Church. Lord, that it would be said that the Holy Spirit's presence is here. Lord, I pray that you would add to our church daily. Lord, that people that come and visit us, they just feel like something's different because you're bringing them in. Lord, but we know that the only way that you will add to our church is if our members are doing the responsibility of a church and spreading your gospel. I pray, Lord, that we would do that. With our heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand to their feet. The piano is going to play here in a minute or two. An invitation just opened up. As a church member, are you doing your part? As a church member, are you witnessing? As a member of Heritage Baptist Church, are you fellowshipping with our fellow Christians here? Who would just come in and blitz out, get around other people, just to come back just a little bit later? Go ahead, Nancy, and play. The Lord's going to add to our church daily if we do our part. He's going to do His if we do ours. But the altar's open. If you need to respond, nobody's going to come and pastor you. But are we doing our part as Heritage Baptist Church? Are we living up to God's expectations? And not ours. Not the expectations of other people in our community, but are we living up to God's expectations of what our church is supposed to be? Which means, are you doing your job? When's the last time that you've extended that track and invited somebody to our church? When's the last time that you've asked somebody that question, "Do you know for sure you're on your way to heaven? Or is there some doubt?" Are we doing our part? I'm not saying that we're not, because God's going to add to our churches He sees fit. But you know if you're doing your part or not. That's between you and God. How's your testimony at work? People know that you're a Christian, or we kind of just hide it, do our job, and go home? The altar's still open. There's people still praying. Never want to close the service without letting somebody come forward. Are you 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven? Well, I know that we're all here. We're all members here. But maybe there's some doubt and you need to get that cleaned up. Dear Lord, I thank You for this time that we can gather together. Lord, I know for me, there's areas in my heart and in my life that I need to work on, that I need to be better at. Lord, that You've convicted me about. Lord, I pray that as a church that we would do our part. Lord, that we would spread the gospel. Lord, that we would go out and invite people, and that we would watch You bring in the increase and add to our church. Thank You, Lord, for the opportunities we have to serve You. In Your name, amen.